The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
This time we want to officially welcome everybody from Facebook, YouTube, and who are listening to us by our podcast. Again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And today, I am going to attempt to delve into a question that we've been asked several times, and that is this. Is the plague of locusts that we are witnessing a repeat of Exodus? Now, obviously, they're referring to one of the 10 plagues of Egypt. So that's going to be our topic today. So we're going to be digging into this. So if you have a Bible, you can go with us to the book of Exodus, and you can follow along with this. If you don't, you're welcome to listen as well along with this broadcast. So, when we talk about the plague of locusts, obviously we're referring to the plague of locusts. We're talking about billions of locusts that has devoured crops and lives, just livelihood of all across parts of Africa, and now it's spreading and going further in parts of even all the way up into China. We saw where Uganda is now being affected, Somalia is being affected, Pakistan's being affected, of course, Nigeria and all parts of Africa, or at least a swath of Africa that's being affected by this. So the question is, again, is this one of the plagues? Is this the same level of severity of the plague of Exodus? So I'm going to show you some interesting things here, because this has come up and even answering the question of whether or not a mainstream news outlet even reported a story about this, there was a lot of people comparing to this locust outbreak as a mention out of the book of Revelation. So we're going to be touching on that too. So when we get into this, in the book of Exodus, there was 10 plagues that was unleashed by the Lord. The Lord actually brought 10 plagues upon the land of Egypt. Now, I'll give you a little quick backdrop on this, the reason why these plagues came. And I talked a little bit about this on our last broadcast when we did an update, our prophetic update on Monday. I talked about how consequently in the nation of China, they've been persecuting Christians for years and years and years. Imprisonments, harassments, death, and things that we'll never know because it will never be reported. But we know the things that is leaking out from other sources there. Missionaries are talking about this, where they're going into churches and they're confiscating paraphernalia. They're taking Bibles. They're taking crosses off of the church walls. They're taking hymnals, and they're replacing them with communist propaganda. They're replacing them with the face of the president of China. So there's harsh persecution going on, silencing pastors, silencing missionaries, removing Bibles, and so on and so forth. So this has been going on. So when you go back in history, here we have the children of Israel that were in bondage. They were in harsh punishment and bondage under the rule of Pharaoh and the Egyptians there. And this went on for 400 years in captivity. But during that time, the believers there, the Israelites that were there in the land, were crying out to the Lord for delivery. They were crying out for the Lord for a deliverer to be raised up to bring them out of this bondage and bring them out of this captivity. And as a result of this, you know the story. Moses was raised up with the help of Aaron. They went into the house of Pharaoh and they begin to give him a strict warning. They begin to warn Pharaoh, if you do not allow the people of God to go, read it in your Bible in the book of Exodus. It was all about letting the people go and worship to and serve their God, which we know is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the Yahweh, Elohim, the one true God. But Pharaoh restricted it. Pharaoh did not permit this to happen. And God gave him a warning and said, if you do not allow my people to worship me freely, then I will have no choice but to unleash my wonders, is what he calls it, and the judgments. So we all know the story. Pharaoh would not comply to the demands of God, and he would not hearken unto the prophet Moses. And as a result, there was 10 plagues that was released. Now, I want to break these down, these 10 plagues, and I want to show you something very interesting here. In Exodus 7 all the way to Exodus 11, you see these 10 plagues. The rivers turned to blood. There was a plague of frogs, a plague of lice, a plague of flies. There was the livestock that was killed by pestilence. There was a plague of boils, a plague of hail, a plague of locusts. There was darkness that came. And then, of course, the last was the death angel that passed over the land. So I want to break these down. We see in the first plague that comes in Exodus 7, and I'm not going to read all this for sake of time. We're just going to give you little excerpts and break this down. And I'm going to show you some stuff and give you my point of view and why I'm and to back up what I'm saying here through the Word of God. So we see the waters turn to blood. Obviously, the magicians tried to mimic this. And it was enough to convince Pharaoh to not comply to the demands of Moses and not let the children of Israel go. So we see another harsh judgment, or another plague would come, and it would be a plague of frogs. The Lord says, I will smite all your territory. And I'm in Exodus 8, in case you're following me. I will smite all of the territory with frogs. And notice he says in verse 2, he says, I will smite all your territory. And he was talking to Pharaoh. So he was speaking of the land of Egypt. I will smite your territory with frogs, and they will go into your house, your bedroom, your bed, the houses of your servants, your people, and your ovens and your netting bowls. He never mentions my people. And this is the Lord speaking. So notice there's a distinction between your people and my people. So in other words, this plague of frogs would directly affect the people of Egypt, howbeit Pharaoh all the way down, but it would not affect the people of Israel. So there's a distinction here. And he says the frogs come, they came out of the rivers, they came out of the streams, and they came out of the ponds, and they covered the land of Egypt. All right. And again, the magicians, the sorcerers, and those try to mimic this. And they were able to do so much to the point where it convinced again Pharaoh not to comply with the demands of the Lord. So then we get to another plague. And this is found in Exodus 8, 16 through 19. And it's a plague of lice. So this is this is a plague of lice that covers the dust of the land throughout the land of Egypt. Then we see the plague of flies. This is found in Exodus 8, 20 through 32. And I'm going to turn here. It says, the swarm of flies will come upon your servants, your people, your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of the swarm of flies. And again, the house of the Israelites were not affected. And he says, I will set apart, and he distinctively says in Exodus 8:22, and in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarm of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land, and I will make a difference between my people and your people. This is very interesting. When we get to later on in this message, I'm going to break down modern headlines and what's happening right now, and I'm going to pull this into this. I'm going to show you something. So here we see this, all right? Then we see it moves to another level of severity. Now we see, and we move on to Exodus 9, and we see the Lord unleashes a pestilence. Now, there's Hebrew words for words in your Bible. There's Hebrew words and there's Greek words. If we go to the book, if we go to the New Testament, the word pestilence there in Luke 21, and I believe in Matthew 24 is a word meaning a disease or a plague unto death. Now we see there's a term here in Hebrew used as pestilence. This again, this is in Exodus 9. It says now I want to show you what as a result of this, watch what happens. The hand of the Lord will be upon your cattle in the field. And he's talking to the Egyptians here. On the horses, the cattle, the donkeys, the camels, and the oxen, and the sheep. A very severe pestilence. Now, whatever this was, it was some type of disease that swept through the land of Egypt. And it killed off, listen to me, the horses, the cattle, the donkeys, the camels, the oxen, and the sheep. It affected the livestock of the land of Egypt. And it killed them, wiped them out. But in verse 9 of Exodus 9:4, it says, and the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing shall die of all. In other words, he says nothing that belongs to the children of Israel will die. For then the Lord appointed a set time. So he says a set time would be set, and by this time tomorrow, listen to what he says. So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died, but of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one animal died. So we see here, I want you to get this. There was a distinction. It was obvious. This wasn't an event that affected both the Israelites and the Egyptians. This was an event that only affected the Egyptians or those in whom was under judgment. Okay? So you got to remember that. And it says, but the heart of Pharaoh was still hardened and he did not comply. So then we move to another severity in Exodus 9:9-12. A plague of boils broke out upon the Egyptians. And it says, and they caused boils to break out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. So now even the magicians and the sorcerers are inflicted with these boils. The boils were on the magicians and all of the Egyptians. But guess who it was not upon? The children of Israel. So then a plague of hail falls. Now this is not just some ordinary hail fall. This was a judgment of hail. I'm sorry, guys, on the phone it cut out. So I thought we lost you guys here on the broadcast. So we're still on here, thank God. All right, so listen to this. This hail fall was so strong. I will cause very heavy hail to rain down. Such has not been in Egypt since the founding of it until now. So this was a historic hail fall that fell in the land of Egypt. Hail shall come down upon every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought into the home, and they shall die. And it says, it goes on to say in Exodus 9:21, but that the hail fell, or it was about to fall, and it says, those who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field, and as a result of it, the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire fell to the ground. The Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt so that there was hail and fire mingled with the hail. So much so that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. So in other words, this would have been historical. If they were keeping records then, in which obviously they were, somehow they were keeping records. There had not been such hail that had ever fallen upon the land of Egypt. In other words, it was historical. Now remember, I told you guys before, when you see extreme weather events, it's one thing to have tornadoes or hail fall or lightning storms or this or that or extreme weather. But when it gets to a point where weather forecasters are coming out and saying, this is unprecedented, or this is historical, this has never been seen before, this has been the greatest since records have ever been kept, then guys, it's time to pay attention. And it's time to understand that someone is trying to get our attention. Okay? So again, here hail falls upon the land of Egypt. And it says, only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. So hail was falling on the Egyptians, but it was bright, sunshiny, beautiful day in Goshen. All right? Then we move over here to the next thing, which was a plague of locusts. And you'll find this in Exodus chapter 10. It says, that, listen to the description of this locust plague. It will cover the face of the earth, and no one will be able to see the earth. They will eat the residue, and they shall come upon the earth, and they will eat the residue of what is left, which remains from the hail. They shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field. They shall fill your houses, all your servants, and all the houses, all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers have ever seen since the day that they were on the earth to this day. Now stop. Now you do know that the United Nations and the agricultural industry and other industries are warning that the current plague of locusts that we're witnessing right now happening, and I quote, they say it could be 400 to 500 times worse, and they're anticipating it to be 400 to 500 times worse when we get to the summer months. And they have quoted and they have said that we could see the worst locust plague or outbreak that has ever been seen or in living memory. Again, what did I just tell you? That's why I'm telling you, you need to be paying attention here. All right. So now watch this. So this locust plague comes out, devours all that the Egyptians have. Then comes the plague of darkness. I'm kind of hurrying up through this, guys, because if not, we'll be here a whole hour, and I don't want to keep you an hour on this. And I know people will say, well, take your time, preacher, and go on. But there's another group of people. So we're trying to meet you happy in the medium here. So then a plague of darkness covers the land. Now, I don't know. I cannot tell you what this was. Some will speculate that this was a solar eclipse. Others will say that it was supernatural. Whatever the case may be, we know according to the scripture, there was 3 days and 3 nights of darkness that covered the earth. And the Bible says it was a thick darkness over the land of Egypt. And it could even be felt. This reminds me of the book of Isaiah where it says, gross darkness shall cover the earth. All right, so whatever this darkness was, it could be felt. They couldn't even see their hand in front of their face. Could you imagine how terrifying that would be? And again, but I want to show you something. It says in verse 23 of Exodus 10, they did not see one another in the land of Egypt, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Again, this is supernatural, guys. Gross darkness here and the light of day here. All right, then the final plague that came was the death angel. This was a supernatural event. It cannot be explained any other way. A supernatural event took place in which the death angel was loosed upon the land of Egypt, and it killed all the firstborn of Egypt, and even the firstborn of the animals was killed. But here's what's interesting. Now we're going to get to the part where I wanted to get to. The Lord instructed the children of Israel, and this is where your Passover story come from. He instructed the Israelites to take a lamb without blemish, They would sacrifice this lamb. They would take its blood and they would take these instruments, these tools in which they had, and they would take the blood of the lamb and they would put it over the doorpost, over their homes. And the Lord instructed them and said, when you put the blood over your doorposts and over your homes, when the death angel goes through the land, I will look upon the blood and I will pass over you. I will pass over you and your household. Come on, somebody. And those who heeded the word of the Lord and got under the blood, this plague that came through, this final plague, the death angel that was released upon the land of Egypt, they were supernaturally preserved, and it went and destroyed the firstborn of the Egyptians and even their animals. What am I talking about here? Now let's get to the question everybody wants to know. Is the plague of locusts that we're seeing a repeat of Exodus? As right now, as far as severity, I can't 100% say that this is a judgment repeated of that we saw in the book of Exodus. Now, come and talk to me in a couple months when and if what the United Nations and others are fearing the worst could happen, if that happens. And what we are seeing now, which, by the way, what we're seeing now is whole livelihoods being destroyed, farmlands being destroyed, absolute catastrophic destruction happening in portions of Africa and other locations in the Mideast, now stretching up to China. If this thing grows to the intensity of which they're warning to be 400 to 500 times worse, then we need to really have a serious discussion about this. Secondly, listen to me. Secondly, I want to take notice of something. It's going to be real interesting to me if what I'm interested in seeing is, I wonder if the land of Israel will be struck by these locusts. It's going to be interesting. Let's just see how this thing plays out. Will Israel be affected? Will these locusts come? Because they're already in Pakistan. They've hit India. They're sweeping through the Mideast. It's not like they're not in the Mideast. So let's see what happens to the land of Israel. Also, I have to bring this out. This is a very interesting thing that I want to talk about. Notice again, let's do a recap on this. Anytime a judgment of God was being poured out, as we see here in the book of Exodus, notice that the people of God were not affected. They were spared from the lice. They were spared from the frogs. They were spared from the locusts. They were spared from the boils. They were spared from the cattle being struck. Their livelihoods were not affected. They were struck. They were spared from the darkness, the darkness to cover the land, and they were spared from the death angel. They were not impacted or affected. And people have been asking, well, what about this coronavirus in China? Is this a judgment of God because of the harsh persecution that they have brought upon the Christians and the people of God in that country? I got an answer for you. And we talked about this in church Sunday morning. When I was here in Indiana, I was at church on Sunday morning, and there was a group of, some of them are watching this broadcast, and they will testify to you and they'll confirm to you what I'm about to tell you. When we were sitting there in church, I brung this up in conversation. I said, if this thing is real, if God's hand really is on this and this is a judgment, you're going to start seeing something supernatural start taking place in China. Among the Christian people there, you're going to start seeing supernatural protection. You're going to start seeing supernatural miracles and signs and wonders. Well, here's what's interesting. You ready for this? This is what's interesting about this. An article was published by Charisma Magazine, and we We shared this on our website, endtimeheadlines.org. Let me read you the title to this. This is exciting. Man, my hair is standing up. Let me give you the title. Quote, reports of supernatural healing and revival is taking place in the midst of the coronavirus outbreak. What's interesting, according to Charisma, they are getting reports back from missionaries on the ground, getting reports back from eyewitnesses there, from individuals that has people there or missionaries there, they have families there. They are seeing incredible supernatural things happening in the midst of Ground Zero, the epicenter of China, where this plague, this virus is exploding and reaching out on a global pandemic. Right there in the midst, we're seeing supernatural healing, supernatural protection, supernatural miracles, and even revival is breaking out. Remember, we also reported about how there's Chinese Christians who are taking advantage of the crisis there. Think about this. And they're protecting their identity by wearing these masks and these uniforms that to protect them from the coronavirus. So they're taking advantage of that, being that their identity is already protected and it's being covered. They have to protect themselves physically. So they're taking advantage of this, being that their faces are not exposed, and they're handing out Bibles and they're witnessing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ right there in the epicenter of this virus. And in the midst of that, while this is happening, what your Bible says, that God will back up His word with signs, wonders, and miracles. And friends, it's happening. I was blown away by this, and I send this to private messages to some individuals that was there at the church with me on Sunday. I said, because I talked about this on Sunday morning, and then by Monday night, I'm sharing this information or this article, and I said, my goodness, guys, look at this. Do you remember me talking about this? I said, if this is really something that we're seeing that's a repeat of the Bible, then we're going to start hearing about this. Because again, if you go to the story of Exodus, there was judgment falling upon the land, but the Christians, or the word Christian wasn't formed yet. Well, so we'll say the children of Israel, or let's say it like this. Those who had a covenant with God was supernaturally preserved, protected, and kept under, watch this, the hand of God and the blood of the Lamb. See, we're not under the old covenant now. We're not under the blood of an earthly lamb today. We're under the new covenant. We're under the New Testament. We're not under the covenant of the blood of an earthly lamb. We're under the blood of the covenant of our heavenly lamb. Come on, the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. I'm talking about the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Messiah. Come on, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be under the same blood by faith. Whew. Come on, guys. This is profound. This is, so listen, we need to back up our brothers and sisters in Ground Zero there in China. We need to get on our knees and get on our face before God and begin to pray and begin to intercede for them. God, I say, God, send more signs, wonders, and miracles. I say, God, continue to protect your people. Continue to protect your soldiers on the firing lines. Lord, you said and you talking about Psalm 91 coming to life and coming off the pages. 1,000 may fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. Though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, they will fear no evil, for you are with them and keeping them and preserving them. Your word says only with your eyes shall you see and look and see the reward of the wicked, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. See, we read these words, we read the stories, we read the Psalms, we read the Proverbs, and we just do that. We just skim over it and we read it. But it's another thing when it comes from the pages and we start seeing it manifest right out in the open. We see it manifested. And friends, from the reports of missionaries and those there at the epicenter, we are seeing supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles taking place right there in China. Now, I want to move on to the next part of this and the final part of this. I want to answer this. There was several sources or several news outlets that reported this. Okay. They took advantage to online preachers such as myself and others who have YouTube channels and blog networks, and they come out and I don't agree with this, and I'm going to show you why. They come out and said that what we're seeing with the locusts is what we read about in Revelation chapter 9. And saying, oh, this is Revelation 9 unfolding. Now I'm going to read Revelation 9 and I'm going to explain to you my personal opinion of why this is not Revelation 9 unfolding before our eyes. Here it is, Revelation 9, 1 through 6. And then the fifth angel sounded and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. By the way, that has not happened. So in other words, we can't even finish. We can stop right there because we can't even finish the rest of this unless this happens first. Okay. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded to not harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Okay, guys, stop. First of all, if this was truly the locust that we're seeing about on the news, if this locust was a description mentioned here by John the Revelator in Revelation 9, we've got a real problem with this, because first of all, John the Revelator said that these locusts that will come out of the earth have been commanded by God himself not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree. Well, guys, that totally disqualifies these locust plagues from that of Revelation 9, because these plagues are completely devouring trees, completely devouring every green thing, and they're wiping out crops in a matter of seconds. So that alone, we could just stop right there and say, nope, this doesn't fit the bill. But I want to read on. It says, but they were only commanded to harm men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Well, this has not happened yet. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it, and they will desire to die, and death will flee from them. Then we go over, I got to read this, Revelation 9, 7 and 11. John gives us a more distinct description of these locusts. Listen to this. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Don't look like any locusts I've ever seen. If this was a quote insect, all right, they had hair like a woman's hair, and their teeth were like lions. They had breastplate like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek, his name is Apollyon. Now again, when you read these scripture, when you read this passage, we are seeing a description of something that fits that of more of a sophisticated, in my opinion, it describes what looks like to be some type of sophisticated military helicopter armed with some type of biological or chemical agent or weapon. Okay. Many of you are going to agree to disagree, or you're going to disagree totally, or whatever the case may be, and everyone's entitled to their own opinion. But again, regardless if you think these are spiritual beings, these are demons, this is an angel, this is literally military equipment, or it's warfare, or whatever the case may be, here's the bottom line, guys. The one thing that you have to come into agreement with me on is that these are not literal locusts or insects that we are seeing happening right now or devouring parts of Africa and so on and so forth. So therefore, that has been ruled out. These are not insects, okay? Or at least they are not the insects that we're seeing devouring crops as we speak. Why? Because we just explained that. Okay. So I believe with all my heart, first of all, depending on your theological perception and perspective of where we are, my personal opinion, I do not believe that we have not even entered into the tribulation yet. Now, again, some are going to agree to disagree. Some believe that the bowls have been poured out, the seals have been broken, the horses of the apocalypse are riding upon the earth. I do not believe that. I don't believe the Antichrist has risen to power. I don't believe the mark of the beast has already taken place. I don't believe that this has happened. I believe we are in the birth pangs of the Messiah, and they will increase in severity, and they will increase in intensity and the space of time in which they're happening. And then we will enter into what I believe is called the tribulation. Okay. And my personal belief is I don't believe the church will be here for the wrath of God, which if you read the book of Revelation, the entire book of Revelation is the wrath of God being poured out upon the earth. And again, I don't have time to break that down, but I don't believe the children of God, those who have a covenant with Him, those whose names in the Lamb's Book of Life, I don't believe we are subject to the wrath of God. For even the Word of God says we are not appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, that is my perspective today. So what do we gather from this? What do we need to watch from this? Again, let me recap this and then we're going to close. We need to be paying attention to this locust plague and see what happens. Let's see if it affects Israel. Let's see if it devours the crops and the agriculture of Israel. Let's see if this thing intensifies to the level of severity in which they have been warning us to be 400 to 500 times greater. Let's just keep our eyes on this and see if this happens. Because again, they've warned if this happens, then we could see the greatest plague of locusts that has ever been recorded in living memory. Again, that's verbiage that we find in the book of Exodus when it described the locusts and it described the hailfall, at least two of the 10 plagues. All right. And then the last thing, again, let's begin to observe and see what kind of reports we get about a distinction and if there is a marked difference between two groups. Because again, I can show you in the Old Testament and I can show you in the New Testament, there is a marked difference between us and them. And there always has and there always will be. And I'm going to leave you with one last thing to prove my point, and that's in the book of Malachi. That's the last Old Testament book before we get to the New Testament of the book of Matthew. Listen to what it says in Malachi chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Malachi 4, 16 through 18. And then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate upon his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. And then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. Guys, I know this makes people uncomfortable to hear what I'm telling you today, but God does not change. He said, I am the Lord God who changeth not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And friends, if we are really truly seeing judgments, selective judgment, we're not in the wrath of God. We're not in the tribulation, but if we're seeing selective judgments of God, then based upon the authority of this word, there has to be a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. God is not going to judge, listen to me, judge the righteous with the wicked. Now the Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. That's a whole different ball game. We're talking about calamities. We're talking about happenstance. Time and chance happen to us once and happens to us all. Okay? We're not talking about that. When a storm comes, listen, if a hurricane comes on the coast and you live on the coast, you're going to be impacted whether you're righteous or you're unrighteous. But listen to this. But if it's a judgment of God and you live on the coast, then God can supernaturally preserve and protect you. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, guys, there was a story that came out in Alabama where a tornado outbreak came. And did you see this? I don't know if you saw this story, but this was absolutely profound. You can Google it. I believe it was in Alabama. It was a southern state. I know that. But there was a woman who her whole house was destroyed. And the only thing that was left was her prayer closet. The prayer closet of her home was the only thing that was left. You know how many stories I've heard of people's homes that were burned down and the only thing that remained was the Bible and it was left untouched? There's been story after story of homes being destroyed and this individual's home was unscathed. It was there was not even a shingle that was blown off the roof, and it was totally left untouched. While their neighbor here and the neighbor on the left and the neighbor on the right, their homes were completely destroyed. Now I'm not saying that people were killed, because most of them were spared, but their homes were wiped out. But it's this again. I know this makes people uncomfortable, but again, I'm just going back to the word. When the spies showed up in the land and they made a covenant with Rahab the harlot, she said, if you'll make it a covenant with me, if you can guarantee me that when the judgment of God comes and if you will spare me and my household, then I will protect you. And they made a covenant with her and they put a red scarlet out of her window. And when the walls of Jericho fell, when the judgment of God came upon the land, guess whose home was spared? You guessed it. Rahab the harlot. You go to the story of Genesis, and the Lord speaks to Lot, and he says, who do you have in the city? And he tells him, and he says, hurry up and gather your people, gather your family, gather your bloodline, hurry up and get out of the city, for we can do nothing until you're out of the city. And the story says that they fled to a place called Zoar, and when they got out of the line of fire the next day, when the sun came up, the judgment of God fell upon the land, and God made a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. So that's what I got for you. This is our devotional today, guys. I know this is a little bit different, but I pray this is something that you can meditate on, pray over. Come on, plead the blood of the Lamb over your household. Decree Psalm 91 over your household. Declare the word of the Lord over your household, because his promises are yes and amen to those that believe. So I know this is an earful today, guys, but I hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and informed by this message. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to find us. If you go to the Facebook Live right there in the description, there's a link right there. If you click on that link, you can follow us there. You can subscribe to us. A daily digest will come into your inbox, and you can get our daily digest of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. You can subscribe to push notifications, whether you be via the website or on our app. Again, our app right now is available on Android, but it is still yet, it's coming on iOS, but it's not yet available. But on Android, if you download our app at the Google Play Store, just type in End Time Headlines. Download our app. You'll get push notifications when our podcasts are released. All that information is going to be sent right to you right there on your mobile device. So we pray that you'll continue to be blessed and informed by this ministry, and stay subscribe to us and stay up to date and stay up to par with what's going on, again, with news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. If you would like to support this ministry, we always give you the opportunity with a gift of any amount, whether it be a monthly partnership or a one-time gift. You can do that on your app. If you're watching us on your app or on your phone, if you go to our app and open it up, there's a place right there where it says donate at the bottom. If you click on that, if you're watching by if you're listening by podcast or watching by YouTube, at the end of this message, there's going to be more information on how you can give and support to this ministry. You guys on Facebook Live, click on the link right there provided below. It'll take you to our main website, and there you will see information on how you can also help partner with us to continue to do what we're doing and remain strong in 2020. So we love you guys. God bless you. We will be back on here either on Thursday or Friday, and we'll try to bring you up to date with our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. So God bless you guys. We'll see you then.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.